Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship this morning, and welcome to those joining us on live streaming. Messy Church is on this afternoon at the school, Encounter Lutheran College, 3:30 to 5:30. And if you are hoping to go, intending to go, make sure that you rug up, because it will go into the evening, and go down towards the labyrinth. And then on Wednesday at Encounter Lutheran College, they're having an open house, 4:30 to 6:30, where you'll be able to look at the Lighthouse Early Learning's new centre, the Wilderness Centre. And if you checked in the community news, you would have seen there was a link where you could register online to attend. Make sure that you catch up with everything that's happening in the community news. So let's prepare ourselves for worship this morning. Come, let us worship. God is ever present and longs to engage us. God showers us with grace and mercy, and the wisdom of the Spirit is trustworthy and true. Let us centre our thoughts on Christ. Let us engage the Word of God, who reveals the secrets of eternal life. And so we pray. Spirit of life, Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom, we gather here in the name of Jesus, seeking your presence to guide and renew. Through your grace, we are given gifts to serve. Through your indwelling, we are given words to praise and pray to glorify the Creator. Open to us anew the words of eternal and abundant life, that our minds may be transformed into the will and the way of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And please join us for our first song, Servant King.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to be with you today. And welcome to our guests here today as you enjoy Victor Harbour this weekend. I wonder how many of you have been rocking and rolling this weekend. That's a thought. Maybe next year we'll do a dress-up on this Sunday. How would that be? And Maureen, what do you think? We can find some rock and roll Christian songs and rock and roll praise songs. I could actually imagine that. I could. Okay, well, there's a little thought. Let's see. Remind us this about October. So August next year, we'll organise our outfits, we'll do a few dance lessons, and we will see if we can rock around the clock here next year for the Rock and Roll Festival at the church. With that in mind, let's just change our tone just a little bit. And remember, we have a God of great love who has given us a beautiful gift of forgiveness through his Son, Jesus. I'd love to lead you in a prayer of confession this morning and then again share with you the words of assurance at the end. We pray. Merciful God, in Christ we have been offered forgiveness of sin and guidance for living. In you life is full of hope and purpose. Yet so often we choose a different path to direct our thinking and actions. Forgive our arrogance and lack of humility before you. Forgive us for ignoring the teachings of Jesus and the guidance of your Spirit, we pray. Loving God, you have created us to live in community. You unite us together as the body of Christ. But often we reject the fullness of who we are as your people. Help us to be more tolerant of those who are different and to embrace the diversity of opinions and cultures that make up your church. In all things, may we approach life as servants of Christ, in whom we find truth for our journey. May we live in accordance with your precepts and seek to do your will. Amen. Friends, we know the good news that love casts out all fear and that we are fully embraced by the love of God, and so we can freely live as God's forgiven people. And so today I assure you once again that because of the cross of our Lord Jesus, you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's peace be with you. Amen. Today, in our little think spot, we have an opportunity to celebrate that around about this time last year, there was a new position in our community that was about to start. It was the intergenerational community officer position, which brought together the village, the college, with our support to be able to bless the children and the residents of the village. Well, today we have Tamara, our Intergenerational Community Engagement Officer, with us here, and I would like to invite her to come and join me up the front here today as we give thanks for the fact that we have now almost completed 1 year in the role. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you.
Come and take a seat if you like. And you will have seen Tamara's role advertised and celebrated in many places, including in our local paper, and most recently in the Lutheran magazine, which some of you might subscribe to, of which we have some stars on there, like our own Laurie.
Yes.
Laurie features very carefully in that picture there as he enjoys some time with the children there. So, Tamara, how's it been going?
It's been amazing. It truly has. I know I came here partway into the role, and I was talking with Nigel in a think spot and asking what we could do together and how we could come about it, and it's all just evolved naturally and almost effortlessly in some regards. So I think the prayers have been answered of your community to have the role and for it all to come together like this. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, the role has grown and evolved effortlessly. I wonder if there might be some people here who are part of our community who, if they had the opportunity to become part of it too, I wonder if they would take it up. If there were people in our community who would love to get involved, how could they do so?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can just give a little quick rundown too of some of the things that we have been able to achieve over the time.
Mm.
And that's a distinction between, like you saw, the buddy class photos, which I'll talk a little bit further about. But Year 9 students coming over and actually visiting with residents as well and meeting with them in their homes and volunteering their services as well. So that's their latest activity that the Year 9 students are looking and offering, to volunteer with some gardening or washing somebody's car for them and things like that. So, you know, that's an easy opportunity that if you feel that you've got a car that needs washing after school, there might be some Year 9 students that would like to come and do that for you. We've got the buddy class in particular, which I've got some flyers here as well with some upcoming dates for next term. We meet on alternate Fridays over in the Dawson room, and a little group of Year 1 and Year 4 students come across, and they are their school buddies. So we have the Year 4s supporting the Year 1s to do their learning, and then we have our village, what we've classified as our village friends at this point. Now, it's our village friends that we're looking to expand upon, and that's where you as a congregation might like to join us as congregational friends as well. It's been such a huge opportunity, and you know, some of your members here that are participating in it, I think, will attest to the fact that the connections that are being made between the kids and the residents has been really, really strong. Different activity each fortnight, so you don't get bored. It might be a board game, or it might be the mini Olympics that we had when it was the Olympics were on, or it might be a bit of craft. So lots and lots of opportunities to actually connect in with that. So those times, like I said, it's every fortnight during term time. So it's not an onerous thing, but it's a great opportunity to step into.
Wonderful. Well, Tamara, thank you for what you continue to do, and we thank God for what he is doing through you as you serve the community, helping to build relationships and connections in his name.
Yeah.
Can we pray for Tamara and her work and give thanks for the first year of her work in our community? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for what you are doing in strengthening community, in growing children, in building partnerships. We ask, Lord, that you may continue to bless Tamara as she engages the community together. Bless her work, that community may grow and flourish. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Tamara.
Yes. And I'll leave the flyers out there as well so you can grab some later if you want them.
Wonderful. Thank you. There's one other opportunity I want to draw your attention to today. And firstly, I need to go back to the fact that recently we celebrated our 40th anniversary of this worship space. 40 years ago, on the late August, we gathered in this place, well, some of you gathered in this place, when this place was opened as a place of worship. In the weeks after, this place was blessed by a visiting group of people from the United States. Many of you might recognise their names, Dave and Barb Anderson. Two beautiful Christian people who love to sing praises to God and gather others around to join together in praise to God. Can anyone remember the Dave and Barb Anderson concert in this place back on the September 11th, 1984? Vic can? Helen can? Andrew can? George and Kathy can? Marg can? There's several of you who were actually here back then when the concert happened. Well, ever since then, Dave Anderson has been bringing to Australia groups of people to go on tours around Australia and to build friendships between Christians in the US and Christians here in Australia. And they are planning a tour for October 2025. It sounds like a long way away, but I can assure you it'll come around very, very quickly. I remember growing up in the Barossa Valley when Dave and Barb Anderson would come through Nirupa and he would put on a concert, and then families would host the people that came with them. My parents speak about hosting some of these people only recently as a couple of years ago when he brought a tour group out, and how special it was to host these Christians from the States and then build a relationship that meant often having a long-term international friendship. And next year, October 11th and 12th, Dave hopes to bring 20 to 30 people with him to Victor Harbour as part of a tour. And he's asking, could we host 20 to 30 people in our homes to help build friendships? And then we enjoy time together, get to take our guests around the community, worship together, and might even experience a little concert with Dave Anderson himself when he comes through. At the end of the service today, Anna is going to ask you, would you be interested in hosting one or two or three or four people in your homes? In other words, if you've got a spare bed at home and you would like to make your weekend available to host them in 2025, we just want to get a straw poll of how many beds might be available. Because once we've got that idea, then we can go back to Dave and say, yes, we're in. We can help make your dream a reality. And I can assure you, these people have a beautiful heart for Jesus. And I can assure you, these people are people I would love to see come and spend time with us here. And I trust you will too. So please, as our worship continues today, ask the Lord, Lord, are you calling us to actually step out and build friendships across the world in a way that we can be blessed and we can bless others too? With that in mind, let's come before our Lord with the word today and hear what he has to say.
Our first reading comes from James, the wisdom from heaven. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And from Mark 9, about the servant of all is the greatest. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered unto the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The extent of your love for all and your desire to transform it for peace and well-being. We dedicate our lives to serving your mission to be bearers of Christ and his message of salvation for all. Amen. And we'll pray for Pastor Nigel and the message today. Father God, we commit Pastor Nigel into your hands, trusting you are faithful to protect and guide him. Thank you, Lord, for his faithful service. May your blessings overflow in his life and ministry, and bless his message to us today and our hearing of it. Amen.
Our friends, I bring grace and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nice to be back with you after an unexpected week not being here last week. Sometimes when you have unexpected things happen and you can't do what you want to do, it gives space to do other things that you don't normally get to do. And one of the things you might have discovered if you've read my material in recent months is that from time to time I've been enjoying a certain mini-series that's popped up on the internet and other places in recent times. It's a mini-series called The Chosen. I wrote about this a couple months back, last time when I had a bit of time on my hands, and I found myself binge-watching part of that series back then. Well, it just so happens that when I was not so well the other weekend, I had the space to simply sit and watch and enjoy some more. There's meant to be up to 7 series in this presentation called The Chosen. And The Chosen is simply a fresh retelling of the story of Jesus' life and ministry but done in a sort of creative way that it sometimes gives you a backstory to what some of the characters may have been like or what else may have been going on in their life. You can access it via the app or via simply looking up the website, watchthechosen.tv. You could even scan the QR code if you just want to grab it on your phone for later on. But it just so happened this last weekend while I was watching through season four that lo and behold, the gospel reading from last Sunday and this Sunday both were retold in their own creative ways. And if you have an open mind to what might have happened behind the scenes or between the texts that we have in Scripture, then you might be interested in checking out The Chosen sometime too, when you've got something, some space to simply do nothing. But today we're going to our gospel reading from Mark chapter 9. And in this gospel reading, we are in the midst of the great transition in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come. There will come a time where they move from their life and ministry around the area of Galilee, and they'll can move down to Jerusalem. And there Jesus would be handed over to be killed and later to be raised from the dead. They're travelling through Galilee. It's as if they are simply focused on their destination. It's like they're walking on an expressway. There's no detour, there's no sidetrack. You're just going to the particular place in this situation, to the town of Capernaum. Jesus speaks to them about what will happen. But there's something different that happens this time. Last week when we heard Jesus speaking about what will happen, we heard how Peter thought, this can't be. Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked Jesus. But then Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And so this is the second time that we hear in the Gospel of Mark of Jesus speaking about his coming death. And what do we notice the disciples doing on this occasion? They say nothing. They didn't even ask Jesus for clarification about what he had just said. They said nothing about what he had just said. And instead, while they walk along the road, they simply argue about other matters that they thought were important. It's only when we get to the house in Capernaum that we hear Jesus say, what were you arguing about on the road? But then we hear how the disciples simply remain quiet. They remain quiet because they had been arguing about who is the most important. Who was the greatest? As I was preparing for this message this week, there was a word that jumped out at me that I wanted to do some more thinking about. It was the word arguing. What a word to focus on. Arguing. But as I scratched the surface a little bit and went back and looked at some of the original language, I discovered something quite beautiful. The word that we have arguing translated from, in fact, is the word that, from which we get the English word dialogue. Dialogue. And so maybe a more literal translation we could have here would be this. What were you discussing on the way? Or what were you dialoguing together about along the way? Normally when we think about dialoguing, we're thinking of a back and forth conversation between two or more people. It's that attempt to reach a consensus and find common ground. Dialogue describes that incredible reckoning where two people are simply having that back and forth conversation, wanting to evaluate what they hear in search for that common agreement. Unfortunately, good dialogue is not always easy to find. Dialogue often, because of our human nature, often leads to confused conclusions. And so the picture that some commentators give around this is of having one confused mind interacting with another confused mind, and each further reinforcing the original confusion. No wonder our translator here uses the word arguing in the text. Arguing over who they believed was the most important. If we were to look at this from a sporting analogy, we might think about it like, well, we might be arguing about who was best on ground or who was the most valuable player. Or if you're a person who's ever dealt with chooks and you brought a new group of chooks into the yard for the first time, you'll know how that they love to create their own pecking order. They need to sort their pecking order out and work out who is the most important amongst us as a group. But it was in our gospel reading here that we see Jesus' disciples arguing amongst themselves, wanting to determine their order, their ranking, and prove once and for all who has the most ability or authority or worth or power. Now, were you listening carefully to the reading which John read first today? It was the reading from James. And James gives us some pretty good advice when it comes to the challenges that we face in our humanity when it comes to dialoguing. I'd like you just to listen to it once again and let these words sit with you in the context of the challenges we face as we dialogue with each other. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Come near to God. He will come near to you." What incredible words of encouragement James gives us as we wrestle with the challenge of dialoguing with each other. We will all experience dialogue in our life, maybe in our households, of course, maybe over the phone with our friends, maybe over the internet as we have conversations. There's so many different ways that we dialogue. Unless we go and live as a hermit, we will be in dialogue with people. And all we can ever bring to the dialogues we have with each other is our own understanding and our own experience on the topic. And more often than not, the topic itself is far bigger than your understanding or my understanding. Who can say that our perspective is more complete than the next person's? And whenever two or more people come together over a matter that requires a decision, there is always likely to be some form of selfish ambition or envy that may influence the final outcome. Jesus makes it clear that we all have desires that battle inside of us. And when we can't get what we want, we quarrel and fight. That's the natural human way of dealing with life. And like the disciples in our gospel reading, when our desires and motivations are all about making ourselves important, we can be sure that there will be arguing and quarrels among us. Friends, dialogue, as good as it is and as important as it is, will often expose how little we really care or how selfish we really are. It often reveals just how difficult it is to understand the needs of another person. It often exposes how little we really take notice of who or what is truly important beyond what we might desire. And so often, when we try to dialogue, it ends up looking like arguing. It's a big week coming up this week. This time next week, I'll be gathered together with all my pastor colleagues in Adelaide for the opening service of General Pastors Conference. That'll be the start of 4 days of dialoguing. Dialoguing together with colleagues about the matters to do with our church. And after 4 days of that, we begin all over again at General Synod, where Anna and myself will be present and will be involved in dialoguing about matters that relate to our church. A prayer that you and I can have as representatives of the church meet together for this dialogue is that all who gather may recognise the unity that we have as children of God in our baptism. We are all carried by our God in His grace. And it's His grace that unites us. And that's going to be the theme that we're going to keep hearing all the way through our dialoguing this next 2 weeks. As His children, we simply have the privilege of resting in His arms, receiving His grace and love, and respond to His ongoing care for us. It's only when you and I choose to rest in His arms and receive the news that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, that our dialogue may truly be a response to God's grace for all. And so as I prepare to go off to General Pastors Conference and Synod, I do pray that God will bring blessing for all out of the dialogue that begins this coming week, that it may no longer be about what is or who we think is important, but it might be about what God may say to us is important. Yet still, as I prepare for the coming week, the scenario of our gospel reading keeps going through my mind. I picture Jesus showing up when we arrive at conference. And into the midst of the pending dialogue, I imagine Jesus asking, "Hey, what are you dialoguing about? What are you arguing about?" And I wonder if we would be brave enough to say to Jesus the things that we've been talking about. In the midst of the situation that will happen over these next couple of weeks, I picture Jesus coming along and sitting down with his church and doing similar to what he's done for the disciples in our gospel reading today. In verse 35, we read, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Then he took a little child in his arms, placed them. Then he took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Again, in my preparation for today, sometimes it's the odd words that might jump out. And this time, as I dwelt on the word, the odd word that jumped out at me was simply the word "anyone." And so, again, I went and scratched the text and went back and looked at the original languages and discovered the inclusiveness of this. This is any person, any man, any woman, anyone at all. Whoever wants to be first, whoever wants to be the most important, whoever has the most authority will show it by putting the needs of others before their own and by being the servant of all. For a servant's role is to put the needs of others first. A servant will make the person they are serving shine. They will serve to bless the work of the other person. We give thanks that we know Jesus to be the greatest servant of all. In his suffering for us, we are lifted up. His interest is for all, including those who are most vulnerable, including the children. And so can you picture Jesus in this moment in verse 36? Simply taking the child in his arms. In Jesus' time, there might have been a pretty mixed view about how children were viewed. Parents may have seen their children simply as possessions. Children may have been seen as the property of their parents. In Jesus' time, children may have been born simply to serve the needs of their parents and rarely the other way around. In the pagan religions that lived just north of Galilee, sometimes the life of the children was considered of lesser value than the needs of the community. So much so that in Caesarea Philippi, the place where Jesus and his disciples visited in last week's gospel reading, there the children were offered up to the pagan gods as a hope for a good harvest. Is that how children are to be treated? No. Jesus now shows the true value of children. Jesus shows that the most important will be those who serve and welcome even the most vulnerable, even the children. The most important will take care of the needs of the children and enable the children to be blessed, lifted up, and freed to flourish and grow and be the parents and the adults to future generations. Today, in the midst of human dialogue, maybe Jesus is interrupting us to show us what is truly important. And maybe what he teaches us surprises us, humbles us, and awakens us to where God is present amongst us. Today, maybe Jesus is showing us that the most important is the one who takes on the role of the servant. The most important is the one who welcomes and engages with the children to help the children grow to be their best selves. Some of the most significant work that you and I will ever do, and even as children who grow up will one day do, will be to continue to engage with children in ways that will bless them. And did you notice the amazing mystery that Jesus reveals as he speaks about welcoming children? When you show genuine engagement and welcome to the little children, when we give them the respect and the care that they need, we are not only welcoming him, we are welcoming his Heavenly Father, the creator and King of the universe. Now that's a flip in what we consider important. Friends, your dialogue will be shaped by what you think is important. What if we were to allow our dialogue to be shaped about what God sees as important? That he has sent his son Jesus to set all people free by his grace. And in Jesus we have the one who has come to be the servant of all. May his service to each of us guide us as we go about the challenge of continuing to dialogue and ministering to each other. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. As the Synod logo showed, people being carried in the arms of Jesus, we sing about that now in the song, I Am Carried.
Day by day and hour by hour, your love for me from heaven flows like streams of water in the desert. Never worthy, never ever. above my darkness, all my failure, every fear and every pain, always carried, always covered by my grave one. I am carried in the arms of grace and love divine. I am held by hands of healing, washed by water pure, lifting up my heavy heart, held in grace God has. I am carried in the arms of grace and love divine.
Beautiful song, the words of that. Let's come to our Lord now. Merciful God, you offer the gift of abundant life and promise to be present by your Spirit with us every moment of the day, as the song said. Hear the prayers we bring you this day. We lift to you the situations where people are divided from one another by greed, selfishness, and intolerance. This shows itself between countries, often ending in war, or at least tensions between countries. It shows itself in towns and local councils, in organisations including our own church. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, change our hearts. Help us to be loving of one another, not the romantic love, but the agape love that loves despite circumstances and feelings, a doing love. Heavy on our hearts is our pastor's conference soon to be held, followed by General Synod, where the Way Forward plan is to be discussed and hopefully implemented. Lord, you know all the issues and the long history of impasse in your church over this issue. We humbly ask your intervention. Give those who speak the words which will open pastors' and delegates' minds to see the issues as you see them. Help them all to truly listen to each other, to hear the depth of pain in the hearts of so many. May then each voter find a deep concern for one another, such that a way forward be found and all can go home praising you. We especially ask for your guidance to our delegate Anna Watson and to Pastor Nigel. Give them your peace throughout the proceedings. Father, we ask that there be peace in the world, especially in places of violence, hatred and war. We ask your mercy on those who do not have the basic necessities of life, both in our country and overseas. Move our hearts to be generous. We thank you that several couples in our church family have celebrated 60 years of marriage just recently. We thank you for your presence in their union and ask that you'll continue to bless Maureen and Laurie, Ray and Esma, and Alan and Pat. We ask that you'll continue to bless them in the coming years. Please be with all married couples, including others celebrating important milestones. May they always be aware of your presence, seek your guidance, and be blessed by you. We also lift to you those families who are no longer a unit because of early deaths or marriage breakdowns. You know who they are. Please comfort those who are left to mourn. And we pray for your church and one another. Unite us in Christ, so we may be truly your body, with a common purpose and a deep love for one another. May your wisdom show us the way of tolerance. In all things we ask that your will be done, and that we may be your agents of healing and mercy. Amen. And now, please rise and join me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Almighty God, great is your wisdom. Thank you that we are never outside of your covenant of grace and mercy. We love and adore you, and so all praise and glory and honour be yours, for you are the living God. And so we pray together the prayer that your Son Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come to the table today, knowing that Christ has reconciled you to his Father. You are one in him. We are one in our baptism. And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Christ given for you, body of Christ.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you.
And so may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. We pray. Almighty and merciful God, thank you that your Son Jesus Christ has served us at his table. As he became the servant of all, help us to be servants to others. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As you go into this new week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Shall we stand for our closing song?
Thank you to everyone who's helped with the service this morning, to our musicians and to people on the desk and everybody who's been involved in any way. And to Pastor Nigel, your voice held up. And bless your time this afternoon in Messy Church too. Now, the straw poll that Nigel had mentioned earlier, the Dave and Barb Anderson concert, I remember them coming to Hamilton all those years ago, 40 years ago, and being so excited by the concert because that music was so different to what we were singing in church, and it was really lively, and it was fabulous. But we need to know whether there will be beds available. So if you are able to host and you've had a chance just to have a quick think, this isn't a commitment, this is just an idea if we will be able to do it. So pop your hand up if you can host, if you've got one bed or if you've got two beds, so we've got some sort of idea. Thank you. Six, 17, Nigel. That's great. Thank you very much. visitors, we would love you to sign the visitors book before you leave, please. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I hope that you have enjoyed your time of worship. The visitors book is out on the welcome desk. And Marg is available for prayer if anything arose during the service this morning that you thought you might like some prayer. She'll be available on the side over here. So let's go out now. May God's love hold us fast. May Christ's word direct our paths. And may the Holy Spirit empower our service this day and forever. Amen. Right, get your sneakers on and get down the street and do some rock and roll. If you're not going to messy church. Enjoy your week.